limousines or get off their helicopters and enter the hotel or resort for the Bilderberg stay. We've done that for a lot of years now, including this year, where the next edition of American Free Press, anybody sees, well, they probably got it by now. It's printed last Friday. Has heavy Bilderberg coverage with heavy photographic material too.
You know, Jim, that would be great if you could tell our listeners, because I really like your weekly newspaper, and it's fantastic. It really hits the news hard in such a way you don't normally see. And maybe tell folks how they can connect with it, you know, because they may not know.
Oh, sure. I'll be glad to tell them how to subscribe.
Okay.
Are we still connected?
Yes, you are. I didn't know if there was a phone number, website, that type of thing, some information to make contact with, how to get the publication.
Yes, there's a website. I have to check and see. I'm not very high tech.
Oh, I think it's AmericanFreePress.com. I think that's what it is.
I'm checking the paper even as we speak to make sure. AmericanFreePress.net.
Oh, that's right. The AmericanFreePress.net. Okay. I stand corrected on that. And then would they call the main office number there if they wanted to subscribe by phone or if they had a question of some type?
Sure. The number is 202. Well, you know the number. You called me.
Sure. That 202-544-5977.
Yes. And they can call, and they'll be glad to ship them a put them on the mailing list right away, and also tell them be sure to ask for a copy of the Bilderberg edition that's already been printed, and I think they'll get a special rate for calling.
Oh, great, great. Well, that'll be good. They could mention they heard it on the webinar that Jim said there's a special rate available for that. Great, that's good.
Okay, now we have to be off there at 3:30, you know.
Okay, sure. I really support what you guys are doing. If you would give us a rundown, you just went a couple of weekends ago, and where did you go exactly, and what happened there?
It was Sitka, Spain, and which is about 20 miles from Barcelona. And the most delightful thing about this meeting is that Bilderberg was so depressed. Never in 30-some years of chasing those kids have I seen them so depressed. As they arrived, one of the Bilderberg kids was lamenting that, quote, many important people are not showing up, quote, because, quote, they always find out and we get in trouble at home, said one, echoing the sentiments of all. And they even left on Sunday night, which they've never done before. It's always a farewell breakfast and speech on Monday morning. And then they all tell each other how great they are and leave in their limousines and helicopters. So this was quite significant because they're losing their campaign to create a world government. They've been set back in all of their goals because of public awareness has increased, and that's increased the political pressure. So it's something to celebrate, but as I stress so often, we cannot be smug because they'll never stop fighting. And we have to keep resisting this new world order, world government campaign that's been so dear to their hearts all of these years.
Would you say that they are pretty much the top of the different organizations that sometimes we hear about, that they're more the closer to the pinnacle?
Yes.
And the others are more subservient or lesser than?
Well, their brother group, the Trilateral Commission, as you know, has interlocking leadership, David Rockefeller and his valet, Henry Kissinger, and Peter Sutherland. Leaders like that are leaders of both Bilderberg and the Trilateral Commission, and they have a common agenda. Now, the Trilaterals will have 310 participants, typically, and they'll simply seal off two or three floors of a hotel, not Well, they'll have bars in one of the floors, of course, but they'll seal off those two or three floors. But otherwise, they don't seal off the whole hotel. They'll come down to the bar in the lobby or the dining room in the lobby and mingle. Sometimes you can eavesdrop and steal documents and so forth. Bilderberg, on the other hand, typically scenario goes like this. They're going to start their meeting on Thursday. They're arriving on Wednesday afternoon and evening, and some on Thursday morning. But by high noon on Wednesday, they'll put up sawhorses and seal off the entrance to the whatever resort they're staying in. Armed guards, uniformed guards appear. And also, Bilderberg has its own huge deployment of armed plainclothesmen guarding the establishment. So, and they always hope that nobody will find out where they are, and we always do, and we always have a lot of fun. But in the early years, they were absolutely secret. They first met under the name Bilderberg in 1954, and the late, great Westbrook Pegler, a widely syndicated columnist, had a telephone tip that strange things are happening off on Jekyll Island off the coast of the state of Georgia, United States, state of Georgia. And he flew down, climbed a big tree, could not enter the island itself, of course, but he climbed a big tree overlooking the island, and being a world traveler, he could recognize through his binoculars many world-famous men, international financiers, heads of state from Europe, high officials of our own government. And he wrote two lengthy columns just raising the logical question, why are they meeting in secret, all these luminaries? Why is the meeting secret? And he hounded them like that. And otherwise, there is radio silence for the next 20 years or so when Liberty Lobby and its first newspaper, The Spotlight, started pursuing Bilderberg and exposing them. And then a few years ago, when Bilderberg was meeting in Europe, we had readers. We found out that year, so early, about November, that we're not ankle deep in readers in Europe. It costs a great deal to pay the postage for overseas delivery. But some of our readers wrote back by snail mail and asked us if we should alert the local media. And I kicked myself in the rear end for not thinking about it years earlier. Yes, we said, alert your local media. So it was just so much fun to watch. It was, now I remember, it was Helsinki. As they got off the planes and airplanes and headed for their helicopters and their limousines in Helsinki, they were astounded to find hordes of reporters with pads and fists, broadcasters shoving microphones under their chins and demanding what's taking place. They were just stunned. And since then, when we found out where Bilderberg's meeting, we write our readers within a 200-mile radius of the crime scene and ask them to alert their local media and to join us at the front gates. So they've had heavy attention in Europe every year since. And as I said earlier, in the smaller and independent dailies, weeklies, and broadcast outlets in this country. And that's why their agenda is being set back. Members of Congress don't dare go anymore. It used to be the leaders of Congress, two or three of them, maybe the Speaker, typically the Speaker of the House, the majority leader in the Senate, Senate pro tem, so forth, would attend. They don't anymore, and they get letters from their constituents demanding what's taking place and why are you going to a secret meeting and all that kind of jazz, and they just don't dare go anymore, as they've said in their own letters to their constituents and to each other.
Well, do you think that we have anyone that may be more of a friend to liberty that is there and maybe secretly getting some information out, or do you think anything like that's happening, or are they all pretty much on board with the agenda?
They're all pretty much on board. Now, there's a very small turnover in Bilderberg. Out of their 100, typically 120 people, no more than five would be newcomers. So you watch the newcomer, and like Bill Clinton was remarkable, obscure governor of Arkansas in 1991, elected president in 1992, doesn't dare go back as president of the United States because he has to count for his time too minutely. So now if they're invited back the next year, the newcomers, this time to take them seriously, if they're discarded, that means Bilderberg doesn't think they'll be a useful tool, such as the name escapes me at the moment. There's a guy who is, they thought, a future president, and they dumped him, and he was not a future president.
Okay. Well, there's so many different things that could be asked about Bilderberg. I've actually got a couple of interesting questions that have come in for some of the folks listening. Dan in Ohio is asking, is Warren Buffett a Bilderberg? Warren is very good friends with Bill Gates, and I know Bill has been a longtime Bilderberg. Warren has donated a large part of his fortune to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, ostensibly for humanitarian causes. But is that really true, though? What is the actual agenda of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and what's Warren Buffett's role in all of this? Any comments on that?
Looking even as we speak, I don't think his name was on the list this year. I'm checking to... We've got the list in alphabetical order. Bear with me a moment. I'll see.
Okay, sure.
Gates is listed, but not Warren Buffett.
Okay. Do you think Warren Buffett?
I'm really not sure what use Gates is to them. Of course, he's a rich boy, and if he comes on board with their world government ideas, that's very helpful, I suppose, to Bilderberg. They're all big bucks, born to great wealth. Few of them earned it themselves, as young Gates did. But most of them were born to great wealth. And money being power, that's why they want more money. There's only so many ice cream cones one man could eat. So many private jets he can fly in, so many homes he can live in. But money is power, and of course they are all hungry for power.
Yeah, it seems that they want a lot of good faces, people that have a good image, good PR for them to have people connected with them.
Yes, if you get too conspicuous a criminal record, they throw you right out, just like they did old George Soros, who was a Bilderberg luminary for a lot of years. And also their very first, one of their founders, Queen Beatrix still attends, but her husband, the prince, was thrown out because of the Lockheed scandal. That goes way back to the 70s when they threw out one of their original members and one of the powers in creating Bilderberg. So you don't want to have a big criminal tag hang around your neck if you want to stay in Bilderberg. They're prissy.
Mm. Well, I guess in some cases, some of the people that do their bidding, they don't mind if they have something on them, though, because then they're more controllable. Would that be true?
Well, there's no such thing as control they don't like. Yes, it's quite possible they may have made Soros jump through certain hoops before he was caught. But, sadly, they're still calling for United States airstrikes on Iran. Some of the Europeans are opposed to it. Most Americans and most Europeans favored an American war on Iran for Israel to protect Israel. They say, well, they spilled the blood of our young men, the heart's blood of our women, and then we pay $10 billion in order to fight Israel's war. If Israel wants to go to war, let Israel go to war, but not with our airplanes and not with John Deere tractors to flatten Palestinian homes, not with tanks made in the USA. And the Palestinians know those tanks were made in the USA. They're plowing down their homes. We should not be in the nation-building business.
Yes, I hear you. Well, I know that you said before that they're getting a little discouraged because word's getting out on these guys and they're getting a little heat for it, and that's kind of encouraging. See, one of the things that I wondered is, do you see infighting among them? Is there any kind of schism, and is that perhaps an Achilles heel on them as well?
Well, except for a division over whether or not we should go to war, I don't see any big split among Bilderbergers, more of a, unfortunately, united front. But they're afraid the euro is going to fall apart because of the economic excesses in Greece and Portugal and Spain and other European countries. In fact, some economists in London were predicting that the euro would become a thing of the past. And one of the Bilderberg luminaries was known to say that if we lose the euro, we've lost it all. We can't let that happen because a nation's currency is a symbol of its sovereignty. That's why they threw out Lady Thatcher, then the Prime Minister of Britain, because she refused to give up the pound, and Britain still uses its pound and not the euro. And they thought that by now we have an American Union patterned after the European Union with an American Union Parliament that could impose laws on the only sovereign states that make up the American Union and have a common currency called the Mario. They thought we'd have that by the year 2000, fully 10 years ago. They were confident of that in the 1990s, and they're further away from it now than they were then. That's why they're so unhappy, and we should celebrate that, but we must not get smug, because they'll never give up, and we must never stop resisting.
Yes, absolutely. Well, did just so have some idea, you did mention that on their high on their agenda was moving the war with Iran forward. But were there some other items too that were to the fore?
Well, yes, there's some discussion about the embarrassment of their brother, oil man of British Petroleum, and the big oil spill in the Southwest. And but they were saying that we'll overcome this. This is the biggest we've ever had, but we will survive this, and we will make money. So gas prices are to drop this summer, but start climbing again in the fall, up to about $4 a gallon again. Sadly.
Okay, and any ideas?
That's why they're only permitting 80% of the oil that could be brought forth to be produced, 80% instead of 100%.
Okay. Lisa in Tulsa asks, is Indra Nooyi, the CEO of Pepsi, one of the Bilderbergs?
And what's his name again?
It's Indra Nooyi. The last name is Nooyi.
Okay, I'm backing up to my list again.
Indra Nooyi. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay. Of what country?
CEO of Pepsi. It sounds like maybe, I don't know, is it India? Sounds like almost an Indian name, but I'm not sure.
I'm looking at N-A-I-N-G-O.
It's N-O-O-Y-I is the last name. Nooyi.
Okay, I'm also looking. I don't see such a name listed at all.
Okay.
That doesn't mean somebody from Pepsi was not there. for a lot of years, the Rothschilds' name was on the list. And when the Rothschilds' name dropped off the list, did a little checking, found out that Rothschilds are still there, but because of marriage and so forth, there's some different last names kicking around.
Mm. Okay. Well, you know, from every indication, it's definitely a who's who in all the major arenas in the world.
Yes.
And so much of the high brass in the media, and yet not a peep, of course, by agreement.
That's right. The Washington Post, L.A. Times, New York Times, the three major broadcast networks have all attended this. Boy, Charlie Rose was there again this year, public radio, I think. And they've all attended. And they make their solemn promise to report nothing. And the Washington Post has attended every meeting since 1954. Old Phil Graham attended the first meeting as publisher, kills himself, and his wife, Catherine, comes out of the kitchen and becomes head of the Washington Post, attends Bilderberg. Then she brought her little boy, Donald Graham, who still attends to Bilderberg meetings. The Washington Post is never absent from a Bilderberg meeting.
Hmm.
But they never will use the word either.
Yes.
They'll never report.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people say it's just a kind of a good old, like the country club set meeting, and there's nothing really going on. Yeah, right.
Well, those guys don't get together to play pinochle, and these important earth movers gather with go to such great expense and trouble to meet behind closed doors. You know they're not playing kickball.
Yeah. Well, Larry in Portland, are they terribly upset and discouraged by their because their agenda is running way behind the timeline they had stipulated, and I think you touched on that before.
Oh, yes. So they were so depressed as they met this year as they fall further and further behind. But again, I stress we must not be complacent. We can celebrate, and we deserve to celebrate the fact that they've been moved backwards and forwards in their program for the last 10 years, but we must be ever vigilant. Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I've got to go now.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. We really appreciate it, and keep doing that wonderful work you're doing. And I'm going to, after you sign off, I'm going to share more information about what you're doing there in your organization and that type of thing.
Very good.
Okay, take care. Okay. Hold on, folks. I'm going to clear the line for that. Okay. I did want to mention, again, the information for American Free Press, of which Jim Tucker, he's the editor, the senior editor of that, and he has been involved in publishing most of his life. Getting the word out on very important information. And the website for the organization is AmericanFreePress.net. That's AmericanFreePress.net. And you can also call their main phone line number for the American Free Press at 202-544-5977. That's 202-544-5977. And as he said, that if you call them, there is a special available to the listeners on the Republic Magazine webinar. So, you know, take advantage of that. And also, you can request the particular Bilderberg issue to get that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they will send out a free sample issue. Check them out. We've done promotional trades with them for advertising and promotional purposes to help each other's publications. And it's important that we folks that are in the alternative media are supportive and rather than combative or competitive with each other. And so we definitely try to do that as much as possible. And I wish we could have had longer with Jim, because I know you probably have many, many questions that come up, but all he had available for us was just a half hour. What I'm going to do at this point is something I've never done before, and I think it might be fun for all of us, is to open this up to a little bit of feedback from folks about how they feel about how we're doing with the webinars. Do you like what we're doing? Do you want to see something different? Do you like it, but you have suggestions? Do you think we're off course and want something entirely different? I don't want it to really be anything of a negative nature, but pretty much just, giving a little bit of feedback about where you think we're at. And I'm going to start with, and the way you can do that, if you're on the conference line, if you called in that way, just hit *2 on your phone keypad, and someone already has. I'm going to call on them in just a second. And then we'll see that you'd like your line unmuted, and then we can chat briefly. I want to, get around to as many people as possible. The other thing you can do is if you're online, you can type in underneath the link whatever information, feedback or information you'd like for me to see, and then I can see that and share that accordingly. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and go to – this is probably the most famous anonymous person, Miss Anonymous. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here again today. I couldn't miss Jim Tucker's call. And just for the record, I was going to ask him, are the Bilderberg attendees, trustworthy? Because I was shocked to see Charlie Rose's name on the list. But anyway, and which explains why he never interviewed Ron Paul in 2008.
I understand he is. That's what I've heard. I don't have a list to confirm that with, but
I don't know about this year, but I have seen him on the list before.
Okay, he certainly is.
Yeah. Anyway, what I wanted to give you as feedback is, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but there's another major conference call, on Thursday nights, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern, and I have been trying to mention this to you, but it's a lot easier for me to make a phone call than to send an email. It's been going on for probably 2 years now. It began as the Ron Paul meetup call, and it has another name now, and it has another phone number too, but that's just because the first line stopped working for us. But it's still going on, Thursday nights, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And I don't, obviously, you've got your own reasons, and, you think it's going to work better for you if you, I don't know how long you're planning on having a conference call on Thursday night, but I'm just telling you there's another major call, going on, and I'd ask you to consider that, if you are going to reschedule the current conference call.
Yes, and just if anybody joined us late, what it's going to be is, and we're, we're open to it. If we see that the numbers are low and that we get whatever feedback that that's not working as well, then we're certainly open. We can make adjustments. But we did there were several reasons we did it. I don't need to go into them right now, but we will try this for a while. It'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern, so it's still, it can go all the way through and complete before that other call begins. But I know what you're saying, that if people wanted to be on both, that's a long swath of time, to be on. So I would imagine, though, that any time you set, it could always be good and bad for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to please everyone, because then people always bring up, well, did you know that so-and-so has theirs at your same exact time? In fact, we were running into that a lot. I was calling speakers or guests, to come on to the webinar, and they were saying, that's exactly when I have my show.
Mm-hmm.
I have a show every day at that exact time. So, it's really interesting. I think there's so much going on, it's hard to find the magic time. But, yeah, we're open. We do a lot of adjusting, not only with the webinar, we're open to doing that, but with the publication, with different things that we do, special events or whatever. So we're real open to that. So thanks for that input. That's great.
So it's just for 2 hours on Thursday night.
Well, normally the webinars are an hour, and I sometimes I've been going over because we have certain guests, and there's just tons of questions, and people really want to participate, and the guest is sharing a lot of hot information. So sometimes we've gone over. I think we're going to try to abide by, you know, a little tighter time schedule, you know, just maybe if we go over just a little bit, because everyone's busy, and I think we can pretty much get enough done in about an hour to where people who want more can go to websites or check out, you know, whatever information the guest has available, and then they can, you know, they can take it further. And then we can bring a guest back on in the future and cover more ground. So if we keep it to that, you know, to that timetable, I think it may, in fact, work better for a lot of people. Did you have something else? Because I know I have another person holding, and I've got to check also the online.
No. The only other comment I was going to make was it sounds like we should all call, you know, the newspaper ombudsman of the Post and the New York Times and whoever else doesn't, you know, goes to Bilderberg meetings but doesn't cover them in their publication, and let the ombudsman know that we're quite disappointed that they're intentionally skipping a major news story. But that's all from me for now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate your participation. You're just right there with, you know, with webinar after webinar and fully listening and participating, and I like that. That's great.
Yeah, it's worth my time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, and we'll move to, we've got someone, it says Peterborough, Ontario. Your line's unmuted. Last name Clark, I believe.
Yeah, hi there. Hi, Earl.
Hi.
It's Linda in Peterborough. And
great.
I hugely appreciate these conference calls. For me, afternoon is actually easier than evening, but, you know, we do what we have to do. And one of the things that I like is that I've heard different solutions that really appeal to me. And it's always good to hear kind of action-oriented, what can we do about this, ideas. So.
Oh, great. Well, I really appreciate that. Well, it's, you know, and I hope that, you know, that time will be able to work out for you. It's interesting because you know how things work. The people who it's probably most convenient for this time of day are the people listening this time of day. So their feedback is going to be, hey, this works best for me.
Absolutely.
The folks that can also make that time will be there, and then a whole new crop of people may be there that say, wow, finally you got a time that works for me. So, I don't know, it'll be an experiment, and we'll see how it works. But just always remember, everyone, we record these and we post them so you can go and hear them later. Those of you that have Internet access, I know some of the folks that come in on the phone line, maybe if they don't have Internet access, it's a little more challenging for them, which brings up something that I'm going to inquire of the publisher on. Is there a way that we would ever be able to have a number, phone number people could call and maybe access archives that way? It might be quite a feat to put something like that together, but I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to broach the question. It may not be practical. So
yep.
I'll mention one other
sure. Quick thing, Earl, is that
okay.
One of your callers mentioned Stephen Greer last fall, and I followed up on his websites and things. That was hugely helpful for me. And if you're ever able to schedule Stephen for a conference call, that would be super.
I'd love to. I really respect him because out of so many of the people, because you can run into very zany people in that field, and some
mm-hmm.
of them are actually plants, I believe, but this man took it on as a very respectable, and he himself is a medical doctor and has
mm-hmm.
Credentials up the kazoo,
mm-hmm.
but he then went to people who were whistleblowers that stepped forward from their positions in black budget projects and government things and all sorts of different agencies and things, some of them that we haven't even heard of, but they pretty much blew the whistle. They laid it all out and said what they witnessed and what they were actually a part of. And after you hear that exhaustively from scores and scores of those types of people. After a while, you go, wait a minute, I think this is way past tinfoil hat season here. I mean, there's something going on. And so, yeah, I'd love to have Stephen Greer on. It's just a matter of getting his contact information, reaching him, and getting him to agree. I'm sure he'd love to. So I'll probably
the other
go to
one might be Paul Hellyer.
Okay, Paul Hellyer, all right. I'm jotting these down because I want to make sure to take this input and work with it. So I do appreciate that. Anything else that...
No, thank you very much. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, and how do you spell the Paul? What's the last name?
H-E-L-L-Y-E-R.
Okay, I have heard of that person.
Former
okay.
Minister of Defense in Canada under Trudeau.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
He comes with a lot of experience in the world. he's been working with Greer as well.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, I appreciate you and all the other folks out there, and hang in with us. And we'll keep growing and going places like we are. All right, have a wonderful day, and then let's see, we'll see who's next here. What I think I'll do is move over to the questions that may have come in and see if there's anything that I might either be able to address or, let's see, we've got, I know that Paula in Indiana was going to ask what happens to somebody in the group if they don't decide to play ball. Jim would be good in answering that, but I, you know, certainly there's stories abound about people, their fortunes being ruined, everything turning against them, and most of them then, of course, turning back to play ball again. I don't think too many people, when by the time they climb the rungs that high and get to that point, are somebody that would just kind of not play ball. They're pretty much on board by that point. That's why they're selected and lifted up into that position. They're pretty much totally on board. Larry in Portland, we already asked that one. Steve in Portsmouth, Virginia, Dr. John Coleman wrote some books that I've just started reading, and I know your specialty is the Bilderbergers, but from what I understand, from what little bit I've read thus far, like an onion has so many layers, there are many groups with a say in things, but at or near the top is the Committee of 300. Though members indeed seem to hold multiple memberships like Kissinger, Rockefeller, and Brzezinski. Do you know anything about the Committee of 300? Well, I do. I'm sure that Jim does quite well. In fact, I think that he's written on it in the past for the Spotlight. And maybe, I don't know as far as for the current publication or not, but I'm sure he's intimately aware of it, and I've certainly heard of it. And yes, they are high in there, but I think that certainly Bilderberg is still probably just a hair above them as far as in the pecking order. John Pearson, Lexington, this article in the English paper this week has much info on BG, including participants John Pierce. Well, this link is quite long. I guess he meant it for our information here. Debbie K. in Brooklyn, New York, I love the webinars. Keep up the good work. Please get Dr. Stephen Greer as a guest if you can. Thanks. Okay. We did get that input before, and so that reinforces it. Dan in Ohio, you're doing excellent work, although I think you should give more time, if possible, at least 2 hours, so people can have their questions answered. Also, if people can have their questions emailed prior to the call and get enough lead time, 24 hours at least, it will be great. What we do is we generally set up the link, and even though the webinar has not begun, when you see that link for the particular guest coming up, you'll be able to type your question in. If you formulate a question, that's great. If we sign on to the webinar and there's a bank of questions waiting, that is tremendous, and we might just launch right into questions and get those out in the works right away. I can talk to my tech guy and see if he can actually set that up even earlier so that you will have a larger window to put the questions in so that we can work off of those. And it might even be, if I have enough questions in the hopper, I might even forward that over to the guest that's going to come on so they can be, you know, really ready for it. They can be, they can read through those questions, and there's something they need to look up and have prepared, then they can do so. And that might be really good. So thanks for that suggestion. I'm jotting that down. Okay. And then, let's see, I'm going to go to, we've got, okay, I just did that one. Rick in Orlando, just wanted to say your webinars are great. Rick in Orlando, Florida. And that's what I've got for right now. I don't want to, you know, drag it too long, but if anyone does have any more input of any sort in regards to how we may conduct webinars even better to serve your needs better, we're not perceiving that we have any problem with it. We haven't gotten, you know, negative feedback. We're just always looking to fine-tune and improve. So if you want to do that, you can do it. If you're online, type your information into that small box underneath the link and hit submit and send that over, and I'll certainly see that, and I can share that. And if you're on the phone line, you can hit star 2 on your phone keypad, and I'll call on you. So with that, I'm just going to see if there's anything else. Do remember, folks, that starting next week, webinars only on Thursday, only Thursday, and a new time. It will be at 4 p.m. Pacific, and that would be interpreted into the different time zones this way. As I said, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. So that's when you would tune in. The old time is going to be defunct starting with next week. You know, we're going to certainly go with that for a while, and you know, we're open to adjusting things as need be. We'll watch the numbers and the participation and just go from there. With that, I did want to say also that as Jim Tucker was a special guest, and also some of the folks from the American Free Press at the ConspiracyCon, we have ConspiracyCon 10, the one that just occurred a couple of weekends ago, and ConspiracyCon 9, which was last year's ConspiracyCon, all the way, every single speaker, everything that happened there was filmed, and we have it where you can see it and hear it as if you were in the room, complete with the visuals that they were showing, whether it, you know, whatever it might have been that they were showing, charts or slides or you name it, film clips. You'll be able to see all of that as if you're right there in the room anytime, 24/7 on demand. And you would go to expostop.com/conspiracycon. That's expostop, expostop.com/conspiracycon. And that's, you know, streaming on demand is a beautiful thing. It's there for you anytime, and you can take advantage of it. So something like that would have cost quite a bit of money. It's not quite like being at the live event, being with the people and right there being able to network and so forth, but it's the next best thing. It's the best we've got at this particular point. So take advantage of that, and supports the continuation of this activity. As I said, we have the archives of all our webinars at republicmagazine.com/webinar, as today's will be posted shortly. And let's see, we have Justin in Boise saying, I missed the first. Are you moving these to Thursday night only, or in addition to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoons? This must have come in while I was announcing that. I'll make sure it's clear again. We're moving to Thursdays only, no more Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, no more of those. It'll be Thursday evening only, and that's, for some people, it's late afternoon, like Pacific at 4, Mountain at 5, Central at 6 and Eastern at 7. So it's either late afternoon or early evening for you, wherever you may be, unless you're coming to us by way of the Internet from out of the country. So some people have to do some figuring out. Let's see. I've got one other one here that I wanted to share. My functionality here is being a little weird on me. Paul Dubé in San Antonio. I joined the call at the half hour and seem to have just missed Jim Tucker. Please name three of the main issues he addressed. Well, I rather than go back through that, I would suggest that this person hear the archive. I really don't like to do that to people where I go back through what was covered already. I would encourage you to make use of those archives. In fact, to share them with other people, to get them out there, because you can send them out to your email list, encourage others to do the same. And if it keeps ricocheting out further and further like that, then, you know, a relay can go quite a distance if each one encourages the next group of people to send it out to other groups of people. That's how we can make a lot of change, by continuing to get the information out, because the media is not going to do it for us. After all, if they can sit in on a Bilderberg meeting with all those luminaries, some of the top people on the planet, and spend that many days with them in a closed-door meeting and there's not a peep of it, then you know basically they're not going to put out the type of information we're trying to get out. It's just not going to happen. I do want to tell everybody that I really enjoy, your participation. I encourage it. I think it's tremendous when you either ask that your line be unmuted so that we can speak with you, or you type your questions in when we're having a webinar and give your information, because that's how we all learn together. The speakers have said that some of our questions are some of the best questions they've ever gotten on any type of interviews that they've done before, that our people seem to be really on top of the information. And that's good. That's a good compliment. I believe that, too. That's what I've seen. It's not people that are so newbie, they don't even know what the word go is. I mean, they don't, you know, it's people who are already there. They're just, wanting some information of a higher order. So that's really good. I think we have Miss Anonymous again. And did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to share with a guy who, was late in coming to the call and wanting to know what was shared. I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Tucker said, except to let the guy know that there is a special subscription rate that was offered, to us for being a part of the call. So if he wants to call, I know that their newspaper is not, well, I'm sorry, it is available across the country if there is a distributorship in that area. Otherwise, you have to call up AFP and get a mail subscription. And they offer you an incentive to be a distributor yourself. But I just wanted to make the point that there was a special subscription rate, offered if we were part of the call. So I would encourage that to be passed along too.
I sure will, and I'll give that right now. I'll give that phone number and the website for that. The phone number is 202-544-5977. For those that were struggling for the pin, I'll give it again, 202-544-5977. And on the Internet, it's AmericanFreePress.net, AmericanFreePress.net. .net. And when you I understand he said there's a special available for listeners of the Republic Magazine webinar. Since Jim was a guest on here, he made that statement on the webinar. So hold him to it and tell him, that's what Jim said, and then that way if they need to check with somebody, they'll know. I'm sure that they probably know by now. But I'm not sure. I think they will send out one complimentary issue. And for those of you particularly interested in this topic, make sure you request the Bilderberg issue, because that's the one that covered, what happened there, and Jim being there and that type of thing. So, great. Did you have something else, Miss Anonymous, or was that it?
I'm fine, and we'll talk. I guess we'll talk next Thursday night.
Absolutely, great. Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to go over here, jump over here, and check once again in the questions over the internet and see what's bubbling there. Okay, I guess we've handled what we have that has come in now. So, I just, you know, like I started to say that I really appreciate your input. It always is very important. It gives us the feedback we need, and I will look forward to. I hope as many of you as possible that is convenient to do so will join us live next Thursday as we have the webinar at our new time. And for those of you that it's not, then certainly, like I said, go to republicmagazine.com/webinar and you can access the recording there. And with that, I think what I'm going to do is to sign off with thanking you for being with us today for this special webinar that we had. And this, as I said, this is Earl Bell. And we'll see you all next week. This officially ends our webinar. Have a great afternoon and evening. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.